Okay, Chevra, let's talk, let's learn. Let's see what we find. Okay, one of the most well-known psukim in Torah, one of the most important phrases. Again, can't really say such a thing about Torah, but if we could say such a thing about Torah, we would say that one of the most famous and important phrases in Kol HaTorah Kula is the pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. Ata HaReisa Ladas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Od Milvado. So I want to begin just by thinking about what "Ein Od Milvado" actually means. I mean, it's an important phrase. There's many nigunim for "Ein Od Milvado." What do the words mean? "Ein Od Milvado." There's no one besides Him. There's nothing besides Hashem. So how do you understand that? What's the chiddush of the Torah? Ata hareisa ladas, you have seen and come to know, ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. Well, what's the Torah telling us? What's the Torah trying to reveal to us? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said there are really three levels of interpretation of Ein Od Milvado. And a couple of psukim later, by the way, in Parshas Veschanan, V'yadata hayom v'shevosa el avavecha, ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim v'al v'la'aretz mitachas Ein Od. Right? Ein Od, there's nothing else. Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing besides Him. So what's the chiddush? What's the Torah telling us? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said there's really, again, three levels of interpretation. What would you say the most pashut pshat in Ein Od Milvado is? What's the Torah telling us? Avi, what's the Torah telling us? Level one.
I'd say the most pshat is that there's one God.
One God, right? Ein Od Milvado. In case you think that there are many gods, right? Hashem, the one who we call Yudke Vavke, Hashem, Hu Elokim, right? He is the true God. Ein Od Milvado. There are no other gods. That's level one of interpretation. Right? Hashem is the only God. There's one God, not two, not three, not 10, not 100. What's a deeper interpretation? The Lubavitcher Rebbe said there's a second level of interpretation. Because we really need to know that Hashem is the only God. We know Hashem is the only God. We need something more. Tell me something more. Ein Od Milvado, maybe it's not a question of the quantity of gods, the number of gods, but maybe it's a statement about the quality of Hashem. Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing quite like Hashem. I'm sitting here drinking a cup of coffee, a very big one. And it tastes good. I'm enjoying it. It's delicious. It's warm. It's tasty. Maybe it'll wake me up a little bit more, right, on a cold wintry morning. Right? So I would say the coffee's good, but Ein Od Milvado. But there's nothing like Hashem. Right? Hashem, the goodness of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, right? You can't compare it to anything in the world. There's nothing like it, right? So it's a statement of the quality of Hashem as compared to everything else. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that's also not really the depth of what Ein Od Milvado really means. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, you know what Ein Od Milvado really means? Al pi pnimiyas haTorah, according to the inner interpretation, the inner essence of Torah. Who could tell me what Ein Od Milvado means according to Chassidus? What does Ein Od Milvado mean according to the deep secrets of Torah? What's the Chiddush of Ein Od Milvado? No? Who wants to help me? Yeah, Eliyahu, let's hear.
There's nothing but Hashem.
There's nothing but Hashem. Okay, so let's go back to my cup of coffee. So what is this cup of coffee?
That was the quality of how good Hashem is, no?
No, but you're saying there's nothing other than Hashem. So is there a cup of coffee at all?
Yeah, of course. It's called Hashem.
The cup of coffee is Hashem?
Yeah, it's called Hashem Latte, yeah, 100%.
Wow.
And just like everything else.
Okay. All right, so you're right. You're right. And it's, again, for those who are new to this idea, it's a lot to wrap your head around. There's nothing other than Hashem. There's a perception that there's a Noam and an Aryeh, and a Yonah, and an Isaac, and a Moshe Tzvi. There's a perception that there's a Shlomo Baruch. That's all a perception. We're all manifestations of Hashem's light in this world. But in truth, Ein Od Milvado. It's all an appearance. And in truth, there's nothing other than Hashem. Before Hashem created the world, what was there? Only Hashem. So what is there now? Now is there a Nathaniel? No, there's still no Nathaniel. What do you mean? He's very real. I met him last week. He's a good guy. But the truth is that, right, the pnimius of it is that none of us actually exist in the deepest and truest way. And again, I know that sounds like a very wild and out there kind of idea, Right? But we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choosing to express himself in the form of everything that we encounter, whether it's people, whether it's ideas, whether it's things. It's all representations, manifestations of Hashem. Now again, there's a lot of questions that come from that. So does that mean that I should worship my coffee cup because this is a expression of God? No, of course not. So how we learn to navigate that, we're going to spend a lot of time in the next couple of weeks learning an amazing piece from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which is going to help us prepare for Purim. Right? But really the pnimius of Einod Mavado, what Chassidus says is Einod Mavado, not that there's one God and not two gods. Not that Hashem is greater than everything else. It's not a statement of God's quality. But Ein Od Mavado, Kipshuto, Pashup Pshat, there's nothing other than Hashem. Okay? It's a famous pasuk. Eli, you had your hand up. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, that first the first thing we said about the Babaji Rebbe, that Hashem is the highest quality. Like, obviously, as you didn't even know, that there's like, that really means that there's just Hashem, but can that be taken kind of the wrong way, that like, kind of presenting it in a hierarchy, like this one's the highest
for
quality?
Sure, for sure. Which is why the deepest interpretation is that there's nothing other than Hashem, right? Because to start comparing God to anything else is itself, it doesn't sit well with us, right? There's something, when we create a hierarchy, it still implies that there's other, right? And we want to believe that there's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. There's Echad. There's only Hashem. There's nothing else. And so how do I deal with everything else that I encounter in the world? Okay, it exists on a certain level. There's a perception of it existing. And by the way, I want to be super clear. We have to play along with the game. I can't say, well, you know, if I don't really exist, if I'm just a manifestation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world, so I don't have to take responsibility for my actions, right? And it's anything but the truth. I have tremendous responsibility for my actions. I have to play the game as if I'm real. I have to play the game as if I have free will. And that's a huge responsibility. That's how Halacha and Torah guides us. But on some very, very deep level, and again, you know, we're just beginning to enter into the world of Chodesh Adar coming up, right? Sort of the height of Adar, the Purim celebration of Adlo Yada, is that it's not, you know, Adlo Yada, I don't even have to, my brain, which is the essence of me in a sense, it's who I am, it's my personality, it's my thoughts, I take it out on Purim as if to say, it's not really me. Because Einod Mavada, there's nothing other than Hashem. Okay, Noam, let's hear. Just unmute yourself.
So you were saying that we're really just an expression of Hashem, right?
Right.
So then what happens with someone who like doesn't necessarily live the most Torah-oriented life, or someone even like
right.
me, right, who doesn't necessarily, I'm not perfect, right? I have my problems, whatever.
Sure.
Because like I know God is expressing, God doesn't have faults to express.
Right.
So where does that come
That's
from?
A great question. That's a great question, right? So if I'm supposed to be, right, and in the words of the Bala Tanya, in the words of the Tanya, if I'm a chelek elokam mima'al mamish, if I'm a piece of a Kadosh Baruch Hu mamish, if I'm literally a divine spark of Hashem, so shouldn't I be perfect just like Hashem is perfect? That's an excellent question, a very fundamental question, and we don't have the time or the means to answer it right now. But it's a great question, right? And you have to ask that question. If I'm an expression of Hashem, so then how do I make mistakes? Does that mean God makes mistakes? So we have to somewhere draw a line between, right, Hashem as Hashem and Hashem as Noam. We have to somehow make that. And yet at the very same time, there's a part of us that really believes in some type of way. Again, it's hard for us to understand, but we have to believe in some type of way that I am an expression of Hashem in this world. Okay? And there's a certain perfection that I'm striving for because I am a manifestation of Hashem in this world. Okay, that's Einod Mavado. But Chaver, let's talk about another pasuk that we read on Shabbos. There's just so many pasukim in this Shabbos, so many ideas that are thrown at us so quickly in Parshas Mishpatim, you hardly even notice it, but it's also a very amazing expression. It doesn't get as much attention as, you know, it doesn't get bumper stickers like Einod Mavado. But it's a very beautiful expression. The pasuk says in source number 2, Zoveach l'Elohim yacharam. One who offers, one who slaughters, or one who offers karbanos l'Elohim, lowercase g, to gods, to other gods, to idols, yacharam. Anyone know what yacharam means? It's a funny way to say what it's trying to say. Yacharam means, yeah, Daniel?
Cherem, from death worth, maybe?
Yeah, so the word cherem, yeah, what does cherem usually mean? How do we use that word?
Excommunication.
Right, excommunicated. But here, excommunicated means shall be put to death. Why the Torah chose the word yacharam to say is chayav misa is an interesting question, but that's what it means. Zoveach, Rashi says, zoveach lalohim yacharam, a person who offers to other gods, who slaughters or serves other gods, yacharam shall be put to death, bilti lahashem levado. Only to Hashem. It's a beautiful, beautiful expression. Bilti lahashem levado. My whole life is what? Bilti lahashem levado. For those of us who were together last night, we spoke about this a little bit. The Eved Ivri, who on the one hand is serving his master, on the other hand is serving Hashem. He's not really an Eved Hashem if he's dabbling too much in different worlds. So, bilti l'Hashem levado, only to Hashem. Who is this pasuk talking to? So the Ibn Ezra says in source number 3, it's not talking to a Jew. What's the very next pasuk in Chumash? Again, in Parshas Mishpatim, everything comes at you so fast. The next pasuk is, don't take advantage of a ger. Be nice to a ger. And after that, make sure you're sensitive to an almana, or to a yasom, to a widow, or to an orphan. Right? What's going on here? Ibn Ezra says, this pasuk can't be talking to a Jew. We already learned in the Aseres HaDibros that we're not allowed to worship other gods. We don't believe in other gods. So who is this pasuk? Zoveach lalohim yacharam. Who's it talking to? It's talking to the ger, says the Ibn Ezra, who's mentioned in the very next pasuk. Because the ger, the convert, is coming from a world where he believed in so many different things. So now we're saying, by the way, now that you're a yid, by a Jew, you have to go all in on Hashem. Bilti l'Hashem levado. Everything a Jew does is an expression of what? Of his belief in Hashem. Everything he does. And therefore the next pasuk says, but realize the ger is going through a difficulty. So the next pasuk says, so be nice to gerim. Because it's hard for them to transition. It's hard to transition from a world, right, where you can do whatever you want. And now, again, they believe in the truth of Torah, so they chose Torah. But they're used to a lot of different gods. And now they're kind of trapped with this, trapped, a terrible word. But right now, they're focused on this singular god. So be sensitive to the ger. Oh, and by the way, while we're being sensitive to the ger, we should also be sensitive to other people who are going through difficult transitions in their life. Like an orphan or a widow, someone who's lost a relative. Right? So the Torah is, again, that's the smichas parshios, that's the connection of these psukim. But again, it's a beautiful expression, bilti la'Hashem levado, only to Hashem. A Jew tries to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through and through, only to Hashem. So Chevra, I want to think about this from the perspective of Parshas Mishpatim. Because one of the big questions that we have to ask ourselves, if I didn't have a Torah, so what would I know? What could I figure out on my own? Right? If I didn't have a Torah, would I know that killing is a terrible thing to do? If I didn't have a Torah, would I know that stealing is a wrongful thing to do? If I didn't have a Torah, would I realize on my own that I should honor my parents? What would I know and what would I not know without the Torah? So let's review a couple of Rashis from the beginning of the Parsha. Ve'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefneim. That's how our Parsha begins. And of course, Rashi is attentive to the fact that it doesn't say Eila HaMishpatim, but it says what? Ve Eila HaMishpatim. So let's review three Rashis from the beginning of the Parsha. Rashi says, Ve Eila HaMishpatim, Kol Makum Shenemar Eila Pasal Es HaRishonim. Whenever the Torah says Eila, it's the start of something new. Ve Eila, but when it says Ve Eila, it's Mosif Al HaRishonim. It's coming to add on to what you just learned previously. Well, what did we learn previously? What happened to Parshas Yisro? Parshas Yisro, we were standing at our Sinai. So Rashi says, Ma harishonim misinai, just like the previous things you learned were taught to you at our Sinai, af elu misinai. These two, everything you're going to learn in our Parsha, is also from our Sinai. More than that, says Rashi, asher tasim lifnehem, you should, Eila mishpatim, asher tasim lifnehem, present it before them. Rashi says, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Lo sale al daitecha lomar, it should not enter your mind to say, Eshna lehem haperek v'alacha bezo gimel pamim, achetei sudura b'fihem k'mishnasa. The goal of learning Chevra is not just to memorize the words. Hashem says to Moshe, don't think you're just going to say it over and over. You'll teach it to them once, you'll teach it to them twice, you'll teach it to them three times, until what? Until the words are clear on their lips. The goal is what? Not just to be fluent in the words, but to actually what? To know what they mean. I'm sure many of us who leaned on the occasion of our bar mitzvah, right? We were very fluent with our parsha. We knew how to read it well. Right? But if you ask a bar mitzvah boy, you stop the average bar mitzvah boy and you say, by the way, what does this pasuk in your parsha mean? I have no idea. I know how to read it really well, but I don't actually know what it's talking about. So Hashem says to Moshe, don't just put the words in their mouth by reviewing it again and again, telling the Jews what to do. Ve'eini matriach atzmi lahavinam tamei hadavar u'peirusho. Don't think Hashem says that that the goal is just to stuff the Talmud up with ideas without any clarity. The goal is what? That you should understand it. Asher tasim lifneihem. It should be spread out before you. Kishulchan ha'aruch u'muchan lecho lifnei ha'adam. Right? You should be able to see the whole thing presented in front of you, a beginning, a middle, an end. There should be a clarity and understanding of the mitzvos. The tamei hadavar, as Rashi says, an understanding of why it is that what we do and why it is what we do. And lastly, Rashi says, lifneihem velo lifnei goyim. These are the mishpatim, these are the laws of the Torah. If you have a court case, you should go to a Jewish court. And you should not present yourself to a secular court. Va'afilu yadata b'din echad shehim danin oso k'dinei Yisrael. And even if you know that with regard to a particular matter, they judge it the same way that we judge it, there are certain laws in Torah law that overlap with American law. So you'll say, what difference does it make if I go to a Beis Din or if I go to a secular courthouse? So says Rashi, no, lifnehem. Keep it in the family. Al tivi eyu barachos shalhem. Don't bring it to a secular court. Archos means a secular court. Sha'mevi dina Yisrael lifnei goyim, because if you bring a matter of a Torah dispute before Gentiles, mechalel es Hashem umiyakar shem avodazar lashbicha. You're disgracing the name of Hashem and you're giving honor to the God that that person believes in. And that would be a terrible tragedy. Okay, so three Rashis. Number one, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim, this is a continuation of Har Sinai. Number two, you should understand the mitzvahs very well. And number three, even if the halachos would be the same in a secular court, it would be a chil Hashem to go to a secular court. You should always present your case to a Beis Din. Chavra, how much do we have in common with the world? How much should I see myself as being radically different from my non-Jewish neighbor? And how much is it okay for me to say, you know what? I don't know. I'm not all that different, right? What separates a Jewish young man like yourself who's learning in YU, who's in college in YU, who's in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, who's in YU? What separates you, right, from some non-Jewish kid who's in Harvard University? What separates you from some non-Jewish kid who's in Boston University? I don't know. What separates you from some guy who's in UCLA? What makes you different? Right? So Rashi, at the very end of Parshas Kedoshim, the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, Hashem says, V'hayisem li kedoshim ki kadosh ani. Hashem says, I want you to be holy. You are holy because I am holy. Going back a little bit to Noam's question, if we're carrying the spark of Hashem inside of us, right, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're always going to be perfect, at least not on the outside, right? But there's a kedusha that we carry inside of ourselves. Va'avdil eschem min ha'amim liosli. And Hashem says, you have to know that you're different. You have to know that you're different. But Chavra, I want to show you the Rashi at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, which you might find very surprising if you don't remember it. Rashi says, what does it mean that we're different? In what way are we different? Rashi says in source number 7, take a look at this. Im atem muvdalim mehem harei atem shali. If you make a decision, if you choose to live differently, to live Jewishly, if you're muvdal mehem, if you're separated from them, we just said havdalah last night, hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, ben or l'choshech, ben yisrael l'amim, ben yom ha'shvi l'sheshes me'amasa. We're different. There's distinction in our life. Chaver, if you choose to live differently, then Hashem says, then you're mine. Ve'im lav, but if you think you're just a regular guy, that you're not any different than that entirely secular person in UCLA, harei atem shel nevuchadnetzar v'chaveirav. A very strange comparison, right? You want to be Hashem's or you want to be Nebuchadnezzar? Why, I don't know why Rashi, why Chazal picked Nebuchadnezzar. Why not Paro? Why not Achashverosh? Right? Why not Haman? You could have picked anyone. But you have to make a decision. Whose team are you on? Am I on God's team? Or do I want to be part of the Chevra of Nebuchadnezzar and the like? And then Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says an amazing thing. Ready for this? This is going to surprise you. Minayin shelo yomar adam nafshi kotza bibasar chazir. From where do we know that a person does not need to say, I am disgusted by pork? What's the right Torah attitude? You're walking down the street, you walk past, Wendy's, right? And you see someone walking out with a hamburger, a cheeseburger, and some really good fries, right? And you know they spend like $1.99 and they've got like a meal for like seven people, right? And you're thinking like, I went to some kosher burger place the other night and it cost me like $25 just to get like a hamburger. And this guy's walking out of McDonald's with his, you know, with his $1.99 Happy Meal, which is like a double cheeseburger, fries, a Coke, a cookie, and like a toy at the bottom or whatever, you know? And you're thinking like, so what's the right attitude? Should I look at a cheeseburger? Should I, you know, you're walking somewhere, you walk past a non-Jewish restaurant and you catch a whiff, right? And it actually smells really good. Are you supposed to say, oh, it's disgusting to me. It smells terrible to me. Or am I allowed to say, you know what? That actually looks delicious. That looks amazing. That looks really tasty. You see the non-Jewish guy walking around holding his girlfriend's hand. You know the halacha says you're not allowed to walk around holding your girlfriend's hand. Maybe one day you'll be zocha, you'll get married, and you can hold hands. Right? The Torah says that's not what we do. So should you say that's disgusting the way that person lives? Or should you say, I wish? What do you mean? I wish I could do that. Right? I'm a normal guy with normal desires. Right? Do I have to pretend that I'm repulsed by my taivas? Or is it okay to say, you know what? I have that taiva. Do I have to suppress that taiva, or can I admit that I actually desire that thing? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, from where do we know that you don't need to say that the cheeseburger looks disgusting? You could say it looks geschmack, it looks delicious. Efshi lilbush kalayim. A person goes, a Jewish guy goes and he buys a new suit. You should get your suit checked for shotness. So you already spent all this money on this nice new suit, right? And now you have to go and take it to some guy who checks it for shotness and pay even more money. I wish I didn't have to think about that. I bought myself a winter coat. I don't want to check it for linen and wool. I don't want to be bothered with these things. Right? I see someone else. He goes shopping. He buys something and he wears it. And I have to take the extra step. If there's a concern of linen and wool, I have to get it checked out. Right? So should I say it's disgusting that he wears shotness? Or should I say I wish I could wear shotness? I wish I didn't have to worry about these things. Right? Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Yomar Efshi. A person should say, I want those things also. I have that same desire as that guy in UCLA. Uma ase, but what can I do? Va'avi shebashamayim gozer alai. Because God has asked me to live a life of Kedusha. However, I find this Rashi to be so comforting. Because it's Hashem's way of saying, listen, I know you're a human being, and I know you have taivas, I know you have desires. You're normal. You're normal. You want to do normal things that 18, 19, 20-year-old, you know, young men want to do and want to live. And we live in a world where it's all around us. Right? But the Torah says, it's okay to feel that way. That's human. That's normal. That's healthy. Right? But at the same time, I don't eat the cheeseburger. And at the same time, I don't commit that act of arayos. And at the same time, I check my garments for shadness. Right? I make sure to live in a way of holiness. Whether it's something I understand or something I don't understand. What would be so terrible about eating a cheeseburger? I don't understand milk and meat. I don't understand linen and wool. I don't understand why God cares about that. But you know what? If that's what Hashem wants, avdil eschem min ha'amim liosli. I want to be on Hashem's team. And therefore, I separate myself for the sake of Hashem's great name. And I separate from that avera, and I accept upon myself kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. I accept upon myself to be a yid. Why? Because like we learned again in our parsha, bilti l'Hashem levado. Because I want to be on Hashem's team. I'm committed to being a player on Hashem's team. Now, Chaver, let me ask you the following question. This parsha that we just read has a lot of, you know, ethical, moral principles that make a lot of sense to us. So when the Torah talks about paying for damages, that makes sense. You damage something, you should pay for it. When the Torah talks about theft, that makes sense to us. So let me ask you the following philosophical question. When you walk down the street, we just learned, if you smell a cheeseburger and it looks good to you, it's okay to say that looks good to me, but I can't eat it because Hashem said so. Should I say the same thing about what we would call, you know, obvious moral principles? Meaning, should I say, I wish I could kill, but God said I can't kill? I wish I could steal, but God said I can't steal. Right? I wish I didn't have to honor my parents, but God said I have to honor my parents. Are all mitzvahs created equal? Or would we say that, no, a cheeseburger, I don't understand why God has anything against a cheeseburger. What's wrong with a cheeseburger? Milk and meat, what's the problem with that? There's nothing ethically wrong with that. I do it because Hashem said so. But what about things that I could or maybe should be able to figure out on my own? Like stealing is wrong. We all feel that stealing is wrong. If we never learned Torah, we'd still feel. There's something inside of us that tells us stealing is wrong. So should I say, really, if I wasn't a Jew, if I wasn't bound by Torah, I would want to steal. But what can I do? God told me I'm not allowed to steal. Is that the right attitude? Really, I wish I could kill everyone who got on my nerves, but Hashem says I'm not allowed to. Is that a normal way? Am I a psychopath for thinking like that? Is that crazy to think that way? You hear what I'm saying? Do the rules of sort of like the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that create a functional society, is that the same as saying, I wish I could eat cheeseburgers, I wish I could wear shatnez, right? I wish I could engage in arayos, again, assuming that there's mutual consent, right? Things that are not, I don't understand why God's against them. They're normal desires. Right? Is it okay for me to say the same thing about the ethical principles of Parshas Mishpatim? Should I say I want to steal, but I'm not allowed to? Or should I say, no, stealing is repulsive to me. Of course stealing is a terrible thing. So I want to learn a little bit together from the Rambam's Shmona Prakim. Anyone here ever learned the Rambam's Shmona Prakim? Anyone know what the Rambam's Shmona Prakim is? If you just look at source number 8, you'll see. It's the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, of course, spells out for us many of the fundamental ethical principles of Jewish living. So the Rambam wrote an introduction called the Shmona Prakim, the 8 chapters. You know why he called it 8 chapters? You know why we call it 8 chapters? Because it's 8 chapters long. Okay? So the Rambam discusses very fundamental ideas in the Shmona Prakim. Okay? I gave it to you here in English, just for the sake of time, because it's a long passage. I want to skim through it together. Here's what the Rambam says. Philosophers maintain that though the man of self-restraint performs moral and praiseworthy deeds, yet he does them desiring and craving all the while for immoral deeds. So the Rambam is saying, what would a philosopher say about a person who controls himself, he controls his urges, but he wishes that he didn't have to, right? He's a person of self-restraint, he's doing the right thing, but inside of him he wishes he could do the wrong thing. He has a taiva for the wrong thing. But subduing his passions and actively fighting against a longing to do those things which his faculties, his desires, his psychic disposition excite him. Right? So he's fighting against it. Right? Let's compare the guy who wants to do the Avera but controls himself to the saintly man, says the Rambam in the second paragraph, who is guided in his actions by that which his inclination and disposition prompt him, in consequence of which he acts morally from innate longing and desire. In other words, the Rambam is saying, philosophers debate, who's better? Is it better to have a taiva and then to have self-control? Or is it better to say, I don't even have that desire? It's not a struggle for me. Who's holier? A person who says, what do you mean? Violating Shabbos? It's not even on my radar. I would never do such a thing. It's not a struggle for me. Versus a person who once upon a time wasn't observant on Shabbos, and every Shabbos, it's a struggle for them to shut off their cell phone. So who's on a higher level, right? Who's more praiseworthy? The person who says, I'm disgusted by the cheeseburger, right? Or the person who says, the cheeseburger looks geschmack, but I hold back. Who do you think is on a higher level? The person of self-restraint who has the taiva? Or the saintly man, right, who his morality internally guides him to choose the right thing without the struggle? Who do you think is on a higher level? What do you think? What do you guys think? What would the philosopher say? The philosopher say... Yeah, let's hear.
The guy who's fighting his taiva.
The guy who's fighting his taiva. Yeah, let me hear.
Well, he's exercising a lot more self-restraint than the tzaddik.
So. Yeah, but he's got demons inside of himself.
He's a human.
He's a human. That's true. He is human. Wouldn't it be better to be a saintly man, a chassid, in the words of the Rambam? Wouldn't it be better to not even have that desire?
I mean, hopefully, maybe one day he can get there. And hopefully one day it won't be a tie at all. But right now he's trying to get there.
But I understand, but I'm asking you objectively, I have these two guys in front of me. I have the guy who doesn't have the desire anymore. Right? And internally he's repulsed by immoral things. And the other person who says, what do you mean? I walk down the street, I see something, I have a taiva, but I control myself. So who's on a higher level? What do you think? Yeah, Nathaniel, what do you think? Let's hear.
I think it's the guy fighting his taiva because someone who has no desires, how can he elevate himself?
Interesting. So
like someone who has something to fight against can help him become more and more holy.
Okay. I hear it.
I just feel like
you guys are very Hasidish. You guys are very...
I feel like Hashem gives us these tests so we can become closer to him.
100%. There's no... Again, I'm not knocking the guy who's fighting, who's grappling. Right? But I'm asking you to pick one or the other. And that's I think, what's hard here. Right? If I asked you to say, who's greater... Now again, your mind is thinking. You're thinking, well, come on, the guy who's fighting he's courageous. I like that guy. Right? First of all, every one of us is that guy. So we kind of like that guy. We relate to that guy, right? We also maybe we remember the Gemara in Brachos that says that a Baal Tshuva is on a higher level than a Tzadik Gomor, right? So we like the person who's growing, who's working on himself, as opposed to the person who's like already plateaued. He's there. He doesn't have the struggle. Yeah, Avi, let's hear.
I just think it's very important to see the contrast in life. Like, for example, let's take like light and dark.
Okay.
If there was no light, then there would not be dark. And if there was no dark, then there wouldn't be light.
Right.
So in terms of the guy struggling, because he has the struggle, it makes what he's doing more saintly.
Right.
More,
it's a beautiful more thought. Right, listen, the Zohar writes very clearly that there's no true light except for light that emanates from darkness, right? And so there's a certain again, or you don't even need the Zohar. You could take the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says that a shraga b'tira, a candle by day, doesn't do very much. It's dafka, a candle in a dark room, that's so powerful. So it's against all of those internal demons, right? That his choices are significant. So we like this guy, right? We connect to this guy on a certain level. We connect to this guy. Yeah, no, I'm not here.
We have the idea that, like, at the end of the day, like, I couldn't be Avram, right? Because Avram's Avram, God made Avram who he is, and
right.
I am who I am. So for this, I'm looking at it as in, it's more about how they got there. Like, for someone who doesn't have any tithers or whatever, like, okay, like, he was born that way, like, God made him that way. It's not that impressive because God made him that way, and he knew that like,
right,
that
you're saying that's his natural, then, that's his natural inclination. That's how God made him.
How high could go from there. Rather, if it's someone who's constantly fighting his tithers, God maybe made him in a way that he has those tithers, and then his mission or what he needs to do in order to elevate himself is to work on those tithers. So
right.
It's more about how they got to the result rather than the result itself.
Right. Okay. So I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, and you're answering it like Jews, not like philosophers. And it's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says philosophers unanimously agree that the latter is superior to and more perfect than the one who has to curb his passions. A philosopher says, if you've got the demons inside of you, right, then you're less perfect, right? He says he's ranked lower in the scale of virtues because there lurks within him the desire to do evil. Says the Rambam, but when you look in Chazal, when you put on your Torah glasses and you see it from a Torah perspective, every one of you got it right. When we consult the rabbis on this subject, says the Rambam, it would seem that they consider him who desires iniquity and craves for it but does not do it more praiseworthy and perfect than the one who feels no torment at refraining from evil. In other words, the Rambam says, according to Torah, it's the guy who's struggling, it's the guy who's fighting. It's the person who says, I'm as human as my neighbor. But what separates, what's avdil eschem min ha'amim, what makes me Hashem's and not Nebuchadnezzar v'chaverov, is the fact that I make the right choice. The Gemara in Sukkah, the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, that kol ha'gadol mechavero yitro gadol heimenu, a very hard Gemara to understand. The Gemara says, whoever is greater than his neighbor has likewise greater evil inclinations. A bigger person has a bigger Yetzirah. Again, hard for us to understand. We look at our Rebbeim, we look at our Tzaddikim, and we say, how can it be? How can it be my Rebbe, my Rosh Yeshiva, This tzaddik has more of a yetzahara. He has more struggles than I do. It's impossible to imagine such a thing. But that's what the Gemara tells us. And the Gemara says also, Pirkei Avos says, the very end of Pirkei Avos, Lefum tzara agra, according to the labor is the reward. Right? In accordance with the struggle, in accordance with the fight, that's where the value comes from. And more than that, says the Rambam, the Rashi that we just learned, that says that what? The man should not say, I don't want to eat meat and milk. I don't want to wear shatness. I don't want to enter into incestuous marriage, right? A person should say, I have all the desires of the world. I want to eat basar b'chalav. I want to wear kalayim, right? I want to ignore any type of, you know, sexual morality. I want to just live a carefree life. But what we do say is that, no, I do want those things. But Hashem said I can't have that. Now the Rambam concludes, at least what we're going to conclude for now, the Rambam ends off by saying, however, there may be a distinction between those things which are only prohibited because Hashem says so, and those things that we should sort of know on our own. The Rambam says that when it comes to shedding blood, when it comes to theft, when it comes to robbery, when it comes to fraud, when it comes to injuring people, when it comes to ingratitude, when it comes to contempt for parents and the like, when it comes to all of those things, the Rambam says it should be natural for you to be repulsed by those things. A cheeseburger, I don't know why God is against a cheeseburger. I know my kishkas tell me that it looks good, it smells good, my body craves it, but I don't do it because Torah says so. But the Rambam says, but when it comes to certain things, which again, on our own, we should be able to figure them out, like not murdering and not stealing and being honest in business, midvar shekar tirchak, so many psukim and parshas mishpatim, it's appropriate for us to what? To not desire those things. But chevra, here, now we come to really the main thrust of what I want to share with you this morning. And that is that even though it should be natural for us to not kill and to not steal and to show hakar satov to our parents and to not engage in fraudulent behavior, even though all those things have been programmed inside of us, but when I do them, I still have to do it differently than just another moral human being who's not Jewish. Let's go back to our Rashis. What did Rashi say? Ve'eila ha-mishpatim. Ve'eila ha-mishpatim. Rashi said, ve'eila is a continuation of Har Sinai. Right? That just like you learned some mitzvos in Parshas Yisro at Har Sinai, so too everything you learn in Parshas Mishpatim is from Har Sinai. Says the Holy Sfas Emes in his first piece on the Parsha. Va'alo kol ha-mitzvos never b'Sinai. Why are you telling me that Parshas Mishpatim is from Har Sinai? Everything's from Har Sinai. Are the mitzvos and parshas Kiseitze not from Har Sinai? Everything, all of Torah is from Har Sinai. Why are we emphasizing that parshas Mishpatim is from Har Sinai? And the answer is, Chevra, listen carefully. Says the Sfas Emes, really based on his grandfather, the Chiddush Erim, the first Ger Rebbe. He writes at the end of the second line, Ach Iker HaRatzon, the main thing when serving Hashem, when doing mitzvos. Again, let's say that guy in UCLA is a very fine, moral individual. So what makes him different than me? Let's go back to that Rashi. Don't go to the secular court, even if it's the same halacha. Why? If it's the same, if they would rule the same way, what difference does it make if I go to a Jewish court or a non-Jewish court? Because, Chevra, you have to realize that even the logical things that we do, that the Rambam says that any human being should be able to infer on his own, we have to remind ourselves, but I still do it because it's the Ratzon Hashem. That a Jew needs to know, Sha'af ha-mishpatim shemuvanin al-pi seichel. That even the logical, rational laws of the Torah, that my mind tells me make sense. Not the things I never would have figured out on my own. I never would have figured out to wear tefillin if God didn't tell me to wear tefillin. I never would have figured out to get my clothing checked for shatness if Hashem had not told me about that. I never would have known, right, about Shabbos Kodesh, had Hashem not told me the halachos of what I can do and what I can't do. But not to kill, not to steal, not to sleep with another man's wife. I mean, I hope I would figure those things out on my own, as a decent human being. So those mishpatim that are understood, al pi seichel ha'adam, im kol zeh, heim rak al yedei shechein ritzono yizbarach. A Jew still has to say to himself, but I'm doing it because Hashem said so. That's how I tap into the Kedusha of rational mitzvos, of obvious moral things that a Jew does, that any human being, any decent human being would do. And says the Sfas Emes, V'zeh ha'tam sha'asur ladun lifnei goyim. That's why it's prohibited to go to a secular court. Av shadinan ki Yisrael. Even if the rules are exactly the same, why? Ki ha mishpat le'lokim. Because when a Jew performs an act in this world, whether it's something that we don't understand like a chok, or whether it's something that we, in quotes, do understand like the mishpatim, ki ha mishpat le'lokim. V'gam atam v'askamas ha-seichel ha-kol al yedei shechein ritzono yizbarach. I do it because Hashem said so. And therefore, ve'eila ha-mishpatim. Don't think that you figured this out on your own, this whole part. Yeah, yeah, a lot of obvious stuff. Yeah, if you damage something, you should pay for it. No. A Jew does that because Hashem said so. And that's a different way of doing everything that we do. It reminds me of Rav Adi Bar Tanura's opening comment on Pirkei Avos. Just a couple more minutes together, Chevra. How does Pirkei Avos begin? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. U'misara liYoshua, v'Yoshua lizakenim, u'zakenim leNeviim, Neviim asru lanshei knesset hagadola. How does Pirkei Avos begin? Pirkei Avos begins by what? By talking, by reviewing for us, right, the chain of the Masora. Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe. Moshe gave it to Yeshua. Yeshua gave it to the Zakenim. Zakenim to the Neviim. The Neviim to Anshei Knesset Gedola. Hey, Mamru Shlosha Dvarim. They said three things. Did you ever stop and ask yourself, why is this Mishnah the beginning of Pirkei Avos? Where should this Mishnah be? You want to review the history of the transmission of Torah. Where should this Mishnah be? Where should you put this Mishnah? I'll tell you where to put it. Put it as the opening Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. Right? What's the first Masechta in Shas? Brachos. So you want to tell me that what? That in addition to the Torah Shebichsav, there's a Torah Shebaal Peh, and there's a Masorah. So as I start to learn Torah Shebaal Peh, I open up Maseches Brachos. It should tell me, by the way, you should know Moshe met God at Har Sinai, and he passed on the Torah throughout the generations, and Me'im Asai Koran Eshema Ba'arvin. You start Maseches Brachos. Why all of a sudden you get to Pirkei Avos, the middle of Seder Nezikin, and all of a sudden, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. What does that have to do with Pirkei Avos? Says Rav Avadi Mibar Tanura in his famous commentary on Pirkei Avos, in source number 11. Omer Ani, I'll tell you why. Here's what I say. Lefi shemeseches zo einam yusedes al perish mitzvah mi mitzvah satorah. What is Pirkei Avos? What mitzvah is Pirkei Avos commenting on? It seems to just be a lot of nice ideas. Shammai says you should greet everyone b'sever panim yafos. Hillel says, you know, don't make the Torah into a source of your own honor. Kina taivan kavod, remove a person from the world. Lots of nice ideas, you know. nice bumper stickers. Nice things to post on your Twitter, right? Good lines. Lots of good lines, right? So you read Pirkei Avos, you say something's different here. A lot of nice ideas. It's kula, musarim, umidos, all sorts of nice ideas that the rabbis made up, right? And you'll say to yourself, well, you know what? I also find quotes from Benjamin Franklin and Albert Einstein and Eleanor Roosevelt. Also, I find those interesting. Brene Brown also has some insightful things to say. So what separates Shammai from Brene Brown? And the answer is the following. V'chach me'o umos ha'olam gam heim chibru svarim. Right? The nations of the world, they also have, you know, interesting aphorisms and teachings, right? Gandhi also said a lot of interesting stuff. Kamosha Badu Milibam, they also had their own ideas that they made up in their hearts and in their minds with regard to how to live their life. And therefore, Pirkei Avos begins, Moshe Kibel Torah miSinai. Chevra, Pirkei Avos is not just nice ideas. They're not cute quotes from smart rabbis. But, you know, this rabbi says like this, and this rabbi says like that. We begin Pirkei Avos to say, Lomar lecha, sha'amidos va'musarim shebizo mesechta. The teachings of Pirkei Avos are Torah. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. It's a halacha. It's a halacha. Shammai says you need to greet people with a smile. That's a halacha. That's not if you're a smiley guy, then that's, you know, that's a nice thing. It's a halacha. It's as much a halacha as milk and meat. And therefore, Pirkei Avos begins by saying, this is also from Har Sinai, Ve'eila mishpatim, asher tasim lefneihem, right? Ma'eilu miSinai, af eilu miSinai. You shouldn't think that these are man-made laws. I want to end with two final insights. In Parshas Acharei Mos, we mentioned this pasuk the other day, U'shmartim es chukosai v'smishpatai asher yasa osam ha'odem v'chai bahem, ani Hashem. So I'll tell you an amazing insight from the Yetiv Lev. The Yetiv Lev was the grandfather of the Satmar Rav, of Rav Yoelish, Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, Rav Yekusiel Yehuda Teitelbaum. The Yetiv Lev is the name of the Sefer. So he says some beautiful vart. He says, why should I live with Torah and Mitzvos? You look at the world today, the world is so chaotic, it's so crazy. Right? The world is so mubal. So you might think, you know what? I read through the mitzvahs of the Torah, and a lot of them make a lot of sense. And it creates for a stable society. And that's really true. That's true. But says the pasuk, Ushmartim es chukosai ves mishpatai, asher yaseh osam ha'odom v'chai bahem. A person might say, I'm going to keep all of the mitzvos. Why? That a person will do asher yaseh osam ha'odom, a person will do them v'chai bahem, because I want to have a normal life. Because I want to have a stable life. Because I want to be faithful to my spouse. Because I want to be honest to my employer or my employees. Because I want to be a decent human being. That's why. V'chai bahem. Because I see when people don't live with, you know, Judeo values, that their lives are animalistic and chaotic. So I might say, V'chai bahem. I'm going to keep all of Torah and mitzvos just to be normal. And there's a lot of truth to that. But says the Heilige Yetiv Lev, but there's two words that come after V'chai Bahem, and that's what? Ani Hashem. After V'chai Bahem, there's another Madrega. There's doing Torah and Mitzvot because it creates a functional society, and that's absolutely true, and we see it in our world today. But a Jew goes one step further. A Jew says, I don't keep Mishpatim just because they make sense to me. I don't do it just because it makes for a stable society. I don't go to a secular court that has the same principles in a particular matter as Torah. Why? Because I understand that when I'm doing it from a Torah perspective, Ani Hashem. I'm connecting to the Ratzon Hashem, I'm connecting to the Creator of the world. And if you don't have that underpinning, if Torah is not rooted in the Ani Hashem, then the V'chai Baham also falls apart. So I want to end with a Malbim, a beautiful insight of the Malbim. The Malbim says that when Sarah was taken captive a second time, it's crazy, Sarah Amina wasn't only captured once, she was taken twice. Taken hostage. And Avimelech is informed that Sarah is in fact not Avram's sister, but Avram's wife. And he's all upset at Avram Avinu. And he says, Avram, why'd you do this to us? Well, I don't understand. Why didn't you tell us it's your wife? Vayomer Avimelech, this is all the way back in Parshas Vayera. Vayomer Avimelech al Avram, in the last source. Ma ra'isa ki asisa as hadavar azeh. You almost, why did you, Avram, you set us up for trouble. Why didn't you tell us that this was your wife? We never would have, we would have left her alone. You told us she's your sister. And Avram says back to them, listen to this, Vayomer Avram, Ki amarti rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh, v'haraguni al devar ishti. Avram said, because it was evident to me that there was no yiras Hashem, there was no yiras elokim in this place, and I was concerned that you would kill me in order to take my wife. If I told you she's my wife, you would kill me to take my wife. However, what's Avimelech's response to that? Avimelech says to Avram, this is the Malbim's presentation. Avimelech says to Avram, what are you, crazy? You think we're animals? What kind of barbaric people do you think we are? We're going to kill you to take to steal your wife? What kind of society do you think? You don't think we have morals? You don't think we have rules? And Avram says back to them, I know you have rules. I believe you have rules. But I also know that if the rules are not rooted in Yiras Elokim, if it's man-made rules, there comes a time and a place where a person is willing to break those rules. It's not an absolute. It's not 100%. There's flexibility. And if you decide that my wife is attractive enough, so maybe you'll make an exception to the rule. It's against the law to take another man's wife. Until it becomes enough of a taiva to take another man's wife. And that's what Avraham Avinu is saying. I know you claim you have a moral society. And I really believe, and I appreciate that you have a moral society. But Avraham says, but if there's no Ani Hashem after the V'chai Bahem, if there's no Yiras Elokim, if it's not rooted in Sinai, if the ideas of Pirkei Avos are just nice aphorisms and nice cute ideas that people made up, then they're only going to be good they're only going to carry weight to such a degree. At a certain point, a person will change the norms and change the morals and change the rules. But when you have an objective reality called Torah, called Yiras Hashem, so then it can't be negotiated with. It's absolute. And again, that's what the Sfas is revealing to us. Right? These are the rules that we got at Har Sinai. Understand them well. Understand the Yiras Shemayim that's in each and every one of them. Again, like the Rambam said, it's okay to be normal when it comes to certain desires. Right? But even those things which are obvious to us, which we shouldn't even have an inclination for, it should be obvious to have gratitude to our parents. It should be obvious to us not to kill and not to steal. But when I don't kill, when I don't steal, I have to pause for a second. I have to say, but this is bringing me closer to Hashem. It's rooted in that Yiras Shemayim. It's rooted in that Yiras Elokim. And going back to what we've started with, Zoveach Lelokim Yacharam. When a person believes in other gods, right? Not only is he chay of Misa, but his life is bound to fall apart. But Bilti LaHashem Levada, when a person's whole life, everything, from the Chukim to the Mishpatim, is rooted in an absolute awareness of Hashem, when there's an Einod Melvado, when I live through that prism, through that perspective, so then my life, then my moral living is of a totally different caliber than a regular person in the world. Okay, so we should be zocha to be Jews who again, to swim in Elukus, who our whole life, that every single thing that we do is an expression, is a manifestation of the Ratzon Hashem. And if we do that, then Amir Tzah Hashem, Einod Melvado, will be able to feel Mamish, that my very mahus, my very being, is a manifestation of Hashem in this world. That there's nothing other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should feel that in a very deep way. Okay, Yashar Koyach Chevra, any questions, comments, closing thoughts, reflections, ideas you want to share?
I have a comment.
Yeah, go for it.
Based off of what we were saying before about if we should strive, or not if we should strive, but who's better between a person who has desires and a person who doesn't.
Right.
Doesn't it say in the Tanya that a tzaddik is something that you're born with and it's not in our control to be a tzaddik, so we should strive to be a benoni?
That's right.
And
most of us are.
Perfect thought, speech, and action, but the only difference between them is that he has desires.
That's right. That's right. And again, according to Torah, on a certain level, again, you know, that Gemara in Brachos that I mentioned before is very hard. Like on the one hand, the perfect tzaddik is the perfect tzaddik. On the other hand, the Baal Tshuva, who did all the Averos and then came close to Hashem and is working on controlling himself, is actually on a higher level. Right? So there's a part of us that, you know, loves that Gemara because it inspires us. Right? We're all Baal Tshuva in our own way. And on the other hand, it's like there's a part of us that doesn't believe it. Right? Like the holy tzaddik who was born in Yerushalayim and has lived there his whole life and never had the struggles that many of us had growing up, you know, of course he's on a higher level. But they're both true. Right? They're both true. And you're right, Nathaniel. Meaning, we are the Benoni of the Tanya, and our whole life is meant to be a struggle, and that's okay. The Tanya is telling us that's okay. That's realistic. You may never graduate to the level of tzaddik. A person has to be born on a certain level with the madrega of tzaddik. But the Benoni is a very chashiv thing. Right? Fighting and grappling and striving and lafum tzara agra, like the Rambam said, quoting Pirkei Avos. Right? The higher level is the person who has the bigger Yetzirah. I'll just end with this. You know, again, that Gemara is very hard. A person who's on a higher level has a bigger Yetzirah. So that means what? That means I look at my Rebbe and I say he has a bigger Yetzirah than me. I can't. It's hard to imagine such a thing. But I like to flip that Gemara around. Right? The way to flip that Gemara around is look at yourself and say, I know I have a big Yetzirah. Right? If there's one thing I know about myself, I know I have a huge Yetzirah. But I guess that means if I have a huge Yetzirah, I guess that means I'm a huge Yid. I'm a big Yid. Because a big Yid has a bigger Yetzirah. Right? So it's hard for me to imagine that Rav Shechter has a bigger Yetzirah than me. Right? It's hard for me to imagine that Rav Ichamayer has a bigger Yetzirah than me. It's hard for me to imagine, you know, that the Tzaddikim and the Talmidei Chachamim of the world have a bigger Yetzirah than me. But I'll flip the Gemara around. I know I have a big Yetzirah. So that means I'm a big Jew. So we should be zochet to be big Jews and keep fighting, keep striving. Bilti l'Hashem levado. No, nothing other than Hashem. It's Hashem. But yeah, the world of the Benoni is a complicated world. But, you know, we do our best. We strive.